Well, good Sunday morning to you. Hi, this is Steve Sappington, and welcome to Enriching People's Lives. This is the first Sunday in February. I, by mistake, told you last Sunday that it was the first Sunday in February, and of course I record these ahead of time, and was just off one day. It was the last Sunday in January, not the first Sunday in February. So today, February 7th, is the first Sunday in February 2010. So welcome. We're glad to have you with us. Hope you've enjoyed the rain. I grew up on a farm, so it's got to rain a whole lot more than this for me to complain about the rain. That dryland farm, I can remember my dad just standing on the porch and just rejoicing and watching it rain. So I'm always very thankful for the rain, because I've been through lots of hot and dry summers just wishing anything would rain. So again, my name is Steve Sappington. The name of our show is Enriching People's Lives. We're happy to be here with you. We pray for you. We hope you'll pray for us. We've got some great information to share with you today. And we want to remind you that the first person who calls or sends us an email will receive a free copy of our book. The name of our book is Today's Word on Money. And you can view the website at www.todayswordonmoney.com. Now, you'll have to have access to email, because the book is in PDF form, electronic. We're still praying for the right publisher. We've had some offers, but want to make sure we've got the right fit for a publisher. So we'd appreciate your prayers in that matter for us, so that we would find the right publisher that would help us with marketing, distribution, and so forth. Anyway, you can visit Today's Word on Money there at the site. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can read past issues of newsletters. You can listen to these shows. We've got a tab there called Shows, and you go back and listen to all of our radio shows. And you can read testimonials. You can read excerpts from the book and other people who've read the book, and some of the nice things, very kind things they've said about the book. And so there's lots of good information on that site. And, of course, you can contact us. Or you can just email sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com or call us at 751-0565 and say, "Hey, Steve, has anyone else called to claim their free book yet?" And if you're the first, we'll be happy to email you a copy of the book. It's a 40-day study on the spiritual components of today's financial problems. I think it'll be a blessing to you. So without further ado, we want to share with you some information. In fact, we'll actually read an excerpt from our book. And since it's February, everybody thinks about Groundhog's Day and President's Day, but we also, of course, think about Valentine's Day. And so I want to read to you something that I wrote in my book regarding Valentine's Day. The name of this chapter is Communicating with Your Spouse About Money. Money and finances are said to be the number one topic of argument in many Christian marriages. Money is most often cited as the biggest factor causing divorce. Jesus said in Matthew 19 that humans should not separate what God has united. Now, for those of you who have experienced divorce, this lesson is not meant to condemn you. But it is my prayer that this information will help all of you who are listening to this, that you will have a more godly marriage from this day forward. Our firm does workshops and retreats to help couples understand how each spouse views money. For example, some people have a scarcity mentality. Others have an affluence mentality. Some see money as status. Others see it as security. Also, many couples don't understand how to communicate in words that their spouse understands. One spouse may be very abstract and the other very concrete, for example. So, as I said there, yes, Virginia, opposites do attract. Then there are even various issues within the larger topic of money. For example, maybe the couple's cash flow is fine, but they plan poorly for their tax payments. Or maybe they've done a good job of staying out of debt, but they haven't made provisions for their children's education costs. I think now you see that there can be so many variables involved in these issues that communication can become very difficult. at this point, it's very important for couples to remember Ephesians 4:15, which says, "And speak the truth in love to each other." Martin Luther said, I love this quote. Martin Luther said, "Let the wife make the husband glad to come home, and let the husband make the wife sorry to see him leave." What wife would not love to have a husband like the one described in Ephesians 5:25, which says, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word." So what woman would not love to have a husband that was willing to die for her? You know, God created men and women to be equal, and to the extent that women have not been treated equally, I certainly agree with the women's movement. But men, if we would step up and love women like Christ loved the church, I think we'd remove most of the fuel that fires radical women's rights groups today. For that matter, our demonstrating true Christian love would remove the fuel for many other rights groups also. So my prayer is today that each of us will redouble our commitment to love and honor our spouse. Well, that's the excerpt from the book. Again, that was February 14th. What we did is we did a 40-day journey, but we also added a few little, some writings there related to holidays. For example, if you've not heard this show before, we read something related to Martin Luther King birthday. We also have excerpts for Easter and 4th of July and Mother's Day and Father's Day, Columbus Day, Christmas, Thanksgiving, things like that. So there's some bonus lessons like this in there. So I hope you enjoyed that. Many of you have heard me talk about Patrice Sage. Patrice is a great friend and brother in the Lord. He grew up in Cameroon, Africa. His mother was very influential in the government and still is today. Patrice moved over to the United States when he was maybe almost a teenager, and to get more education. And he actually got born again when he was maybe 19 or 20 years old. So for about the last 15 years, he's been a Christian. And Patrice has started a ministry called Nehemiah Project. So if you want to go to visit his website, it's nehemiahproject.org. Patrice has just a remarkable, uncanny ability to discern what God's Word says about business. And he's actually developed an entire curriculum called Biblical Entrepreneurship, where he goes verse by verse through many parts of the Bible, sharing with the students, anyone who wants to take his courses, what the Bible says about business. And I've been through BE, we call it, Biblical Entrepreneurship. I've been through BE 1, 2, and 3. And I highly recommend them. You can take the courses online if you want. So if you'd like to find out more, you can go to nehemiahproject.org. Anyway, Patrice sends out a weekly encouraging email, and I'd like to read one of his more recent ones. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." It's unfortunate that in spite of the revealed truth of the Word of God, some still foolishly believe in the lie called evolution, that man was a result of chance and evolved from a monkey into a human being. If that were the case, why is it that monkeys no longer turn into humans? Though I have not yet seen a monkey turn into a human, I have, however, seen humans turn into monkeys. Only a monkey will believe that he came from a monkey. Man turns into a monkey when he rejects the truth of Scripture and does not reflect the image of God, his Creator. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's from Psalm 14, verse 1. Out of all God's creation, he chose to make us in his own image. What does that really mean? What is the image of God? What is the image of God? How can we conform to that image? Walking in the image of God, which is our original nature before sin, is essential to building a successful kingdom business. As kingdom business stewards, we are operating as God's representative and must manage his business as he would. The image of God is his own reflection. We were made to look and act like him. There are seven characteristics to God's image. Number one, eternal. God has no beginning or end. He is, was, and is to come. Like God, we become eternal upon receiving salvation. Not that we are immortal, but death becomes our passport to eternity. Number two, holy. God is pure. There is no imperfection in him. He calls us to be holy as he is holy. Holiness for us is not the absence of sin, but rather it is the presence of a dynamic relationship with a loving Savior whose blood cleanses all of our imperfections. Three, spirit. God is not a physical being, but an existing spirit. The mistake we tend to make is to limit our existence to our physics, when that is really not who we are. Like God, the real us is spirit, and we must follow that spirit to be activated and take full control over our physical being. Our physical nature is limited, while the spirit man is unlimited. Four, creator. God is an innovator and industrious. He has the ability to make things. Of all his characteristics, entrepreneurs can best relate to this one because we understand the process of creating. Like God, whatever we imagine, we can produce. There are no limitations to our creative abilities. Five, loving. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, John 3:16. God's love is what caused him to cover Adam's nakedness, and it is what led him to send his only Son to die on the cross. Like God, we must be loving, and this love must be demonstrated by our compassion for others and our willingness to lay down our lives for others. Number six, Savior. Without his saving nature, Adam would not have been redeemed, and Jesus would not have been sent. He loves rescue missions because it gives him the opportunity to be the Savior that he is. We have the opportunity through our business to bring salvation to the lost, saving them from their sins. We have the privilege to provide a safe environment for people to serve and provide for their families, saving them from abuse and tyranny. Just an aside there, I mean, how many people until recently thought that their business gave them an opportunity to bring salvation to the lost? But I'm seeing that more and more, and again, I think that's how we turn our business into a ministry. Number seven, just. God's justice causes him to judge wickedness and chastise those whom he loves. We must not cooperate with wickedness, but take every opportunity to challenge it. We must resist the temptation to adopt fairness as a value, which is a false attempt to play God, and walk in the justice of God, even when it is painful, knowing that God's justice yields to redemption. Ultimately, God is an eternal, holy being who created everything that exists, and although sin brought destruction to his creation, his love for us compelled him to come as a Savior to redeem his creation and bring judgment upon the wicked. Walking in the image of God is essential to our success as kingdom business stewards, since that is God's original and divine order. In order for us to conform to our original nature, we must make sure that we have accepted his Son as our Lord and Savior. We must have an active prayer and devotional life, and we must challenge ourselves daily to walk in the characteristics of God's image. Wow, isn't that powerful? He has just some just phenomenal things. He starts sharing, I mean, just in biblical entrepreneurship, just his definitions alone of what stewardship is, what profit is, you know, all these different things, what talents and gifts are. Just have totally changed many of the things that I've done in business. And by the way, I don't think, if you're not a business owner, I still encourage you to take his courses, because each of us has our own space, our own place to work, and you should take charge and operate it as God wants you to operate. So I think you would be a better employee and you'd be a better employer for having taken Patrice's course. And also, I want to let everybody know, one of the groups that our church started is called Integrate, and we meet quarterly. It's business people who want to use their business as a ministry. And we're having a special meeting this coming Thursday and Friday. That starts Thursday at noon. I believe that's the 10th, or maybe it's the 11th. 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, it's the 11th. Thursday the 11th at noon. It's going to meet at Community Bank and Trust in their business or conference room. And then we'll meet all afternoon if you want. You can just come for lunch, but we're going to have a workshop all that afternoon and then all day Friday from like 8 to 5. We're going to have a special guest gentleman's name is Ford Taylor. Ford has a remarkable testimony about how God has turned his life around. And Ford has some special gifts and skills in the areas of leadership and business turnaround. So he's going to share with us on the topic of how to make your business profit more and grow more, even in these uncertain economic times, by using biblical principles. So if you'd like your business to have more profit so that you can, again, do more of the things that God is calling you to do, I highly encourage you to sign up for this. You can call Antioch. And I believe the number is 754-0386, and they can put you in touch with the right person to sign up for that. And if you can't make the whole conference, then I would certainly encourage you to come to lunch Thursday at noon. Remind you, again, this is kind of the middle part of our show. If you are hearing this and you'd like a free copy of our book, Today's Word on Money, the first person who contacts us, either by phone or email, will receive a free copy via email. It's an electronic PDF e-book. And the book covers the spiritual components of today's financial problems. So call me at 751-0565 or email me at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. You've heard me speak before of Oz Hillman. Oz was had a very successful advertising career and then basically lost it. Oz has played, I think, professional golf. And he lost his first marriage, and God, he finally turned his attention to God, and God helped him turn his life around. Oz now has a very successful consulting business where he speaks and encourages and motivates Christians to bring God into their workplace. And he has a daily email called TGIF, Today God is First. And I really enjoy it. So, again, if you're hearing any of these things that I'm reading, you'd like to find out more about how you could sign up to receive these emails, be sure and let me know, and I can forward the links to you. This particular article by Oz is called Forgiving Ourselves. And his theme verse is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Here's a story that Oz tells. The murderer was condemned to life in prison. Then one day something amazing happened. The guard came and opened the jail cell. You're free to go. Someone else is taking your place, said the guard. How can this be? I'm still guilty, said the prisoner. Your debt has been paid. You are free to leave, said the guard once more. The prisoner decided not to leave. I cannot allow another to pay my debt, said the prisoner. Because of his pride, he chose to remain in bondage. Imagine the guilt Peter must have felt when he denied the Son of God 3 times by saying he never knew Jesus. Imagine what he must have felt the moment he reunited with him after the resurrection. The hardest person to forgive sometimes is ourselves. It is especially hard for high achievers to forgive themselves. We think we are above such failure. However, the Bible says we all sin, and it is impossible to remedy that sin by ourselves. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in our lives. The question is not whether we will sin, the question is what we will do when we do sin. There's only one thing for us to do, go to the cross. Jesus paid for that sin by dying on the cross. Picture yourself writing your sin on a white piece of paper, then pinning it to the cross. Now leave it there. The cross is for sinners. When Jesus looks at you, he no longer sees your sin. He cannot see the sin because he can only see the cross. When you come to Jesus with your sin, there is nothing more you can do besides confessing and renouncing your sin. Sometimes it may require restitution with others. However, once you confess your sin and ask forgiveness, it is no longer on the ledger of debts. Why not choose to walk free? The cell has been opened. Well, I know I beat myself up sometimes for something I've done. And, again, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't mean that we don't apologize or that we don't make mistakes and have to ask forgiveness and repent and so forth. But, again, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation, and so God wants us to know that. By the way, I get lots of questions on what my opinion is of buying silver and gold, and so we've just started a new business for my son to help him get involved in collecting special types of graded numismatic gold and silver coins. And so if you'd like to find out some information on that, we'll just send me an email, and I'll have my son will send you to his website so that you can find out more about that. I think it's very affordable, where lots of people without even a whole lot of money to invest can do this, and should be pretty interesting. So if any of you are interested in that, just let us know. I've got another article from Patrice here. Let me just see. Hang on just a minute. No, I want to read something else from Oz Hillman. The title of this article is Deep Things. From Job 12:22, he reveals the deep things of darkness and brings deep shadows into the light. One of the great mysteries of the kingdom is how God uses the darkest times in our lives to reveal greater depths of understanding of his ways. The only way we can receive these deeper things is to be driven to the depths of darkness. It is here that we discover important truths that he plans to use in our lives and the lives of others. There's a process God uses to draw us into greater levels of intimacy. The first phase involves a depth of soul experience that causes great pain in our lives. We seek God for deliverance from the incredible emotional pain this causes. Our primary motivation for seeking God is to get out of our pain. During this time, God meets us in the depths of darkness. We discover that he never left us, but is in the midst of our darkness. We develop a new relationship with God. Gradually, our motivation turns from removal of pain to love and intimacy with God. This is the place our Heavenly Father desires us to be. During this season, God will make spiritual deposits into your life. Others will be making withdrawals in the future from your life as well. You see, God reveals deep things in darkness that will be revealed in the light. If you find yourself in great distress, know that God will bring your deep shadows into the light. The key to your deliverance is becoming satisfied in God. He becomes your all. He is your life. You will know your deliverance is near when your circumstances simply don't matter to you anymore. Love the Lord your God with all your soul and see what things he will show you in the deep things of darkness. You know, God or Jesus suffered lots of things so that we could have salvation and freedoms and forgiveness and health and many things. I mean, it probably will take us all of eternity to find out all the things that Jesus bought for us and paid for with his death and burial and resurrection. But sometimes, you know, we don't listen to what God tells us. And so sometimes we have to go through some things. Either the enemy is attacking us or we've ignored God's instructions. And so, again, instead of running from him, we need to run to him because he has the answers, his word, his life. And so I encourage you to run to God, not run from him. Oz also talks about being chosen from Matthew 4:19-20. Jesus said, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so at once they left their nets and followed him. Do you recall how good it felt when you were chosen to be on a sports team? It makes one feel special to be preferred over another. During the time of Jesus, rabbis were well known in their community. Each rabbi had a following of students, and Jesus was developing as a superstar rabbi. He was unlike the others. He did things differently. He often confronted the accepted thinking of other rabbis and Pharisees. The younger men had great respect for Jesus, the rabbi. To be selected by Jesus would be a great honor because most rabbis would usually select only the cream of the crop in the community as their disciples. By these standards, Peter and the other disciples would not have qualified, but Jesus had a purpose in mind for Peter and the disciples. God is the one who calls people into relationship with himself and to their calling in life. It's for his purposes, not ours. Jesus chose each of his disciples from the workplace instead of the rabbinical schools. They did not choose Jesus. Jesus chose them. And it was deemed a great honor in their culture to be chosen by such a rabbi. This is from John 15:16. Jesus called you into relationship with himself because his desire is for you to be a faithful priest in your work life, your family, and city. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. That's from 1 Samuel 2:35. He desires that you be a willing participant in his agenda. He's not called you for your purposes, but his. Sometimes we think it's all about us. It has to be all about him in order for us to fulfill what is in his heart and mind for his overall plan for his kingdom. He doesn't need us, but he has chosen to use us. God has an agenda for planet Earth. He has chosen you and me as the primary instrument for accomplishing his plan. Are you willing to be his faithful priest and king to do what is in his heart and mind? Why not say yes to God's agenda? Well, as we wind up here today, I'm so thankful for you listening, that you allowed me to into your home or your car or wherever you're listening to this. Again, I want to pray that the Lord richly blesses you this year, that 2010 is your best year yet. Not your best year ever, but your best year yet. That you would receive God's very best in every area of your life. Spiritually, financially, every area. And again, as we close, I want you to remember that you can find out more about our book at todayswordonmoney.com. From that site, you can, of course, follow us on Facebook. We would love, I view Facebook as really the posts that I put on Facebook. Really, I pray about them and ask God to show me what we can do to, again, be light and be salt in this world, so that some of the things that we say, I hope will lead others to draw closer to God. That's what ministry is. So follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can find out, you can do that by just visiting my website, and then there's buttons you can click on. You can read our blog from there. You can also, by the way, we talked some about our latest blog. We talked about some of the new technology that we've recently incorporated into our business, a new phone and a new way of being able to receive phone calls and messages and read them on computer. So read our blog for that. Also, you can sign up for our newsletter. You can read previous issues of our monthly newsletter. You can listen to our weekly shows that are recorded here on KSUR. There on the website, we have MP3s of each show that you can listen to. And you can read sample chapters from our book. There's a nice foreword there by Mr. Paul J. Meyer, who went on to be with Jesus last fall. He was kind enough to write the foreword to my book before he passed away. It's been about a year ago he did that. And actually, I think he was in and out of various treatments while he was doing that, but he was gracious enough to take the time and just wrote a marvelous foreword. In fact, I emailed him after he'd sent it to me. I said, wow, I hope I can write that well someday. So you can read the foreword. You can read the chapter titles, kind of give you an idea of what the book is about. You can read testimonials from others, several well-known Christians who have read the book and recommended it to others. You can contact us, of course, from that site. You can hear an audio or radio interview I did with Tim Wildman from AFA. From Mississippi, and we spoke. So all that is on todayswordonmoney.com. We thank you again for joining us. I hope you'll tune in next week for Enriching People's Lives. This is Steve Sappington saying, Lord bless you, and we'll look forward to coming together again next Sunday on Enriching People's Lives.